Welcome to the Story Mine. I'm David Bullock, and I'm here with my co-host,
Kathy Barker.
Sometimes it takes until we become old to appreciate the stories from our youth.
Well, you know, Dave, kids will be kids, and there'll always be stories we can find that are outrageous from our childhood.
Do you think the statute of limitations has run out for all of the mischief I used to get into when I was a kid?
Well, as long as you fess up and keep telling those stories, I think that you will be forgiven.
Our featured storyteller this morning is, according to Smithsonian Magazine, a master of timing, measuring some sentences drop by drop and pouring others out like water from a pitcher.
A former chairman of the National Storytelling Network and a favorite headliner, for sure, at the storytelling festivals coast to coast, Donald Davis creates and performs stories that reflect rural America in the 1960s.
Today, we're featuring Peas and Carrots from Donald Davis's Mama Learns to Drive CD. This CD has earned a Parents' Choice Gold Award and the Storytelling World Award. Gather your family around the breakfast table and let's enjoy some peas and carrots.
When I was born, we lived in a small frame house that had three bedrooms, a living room, a dining room, a kitchen, and a bathroom, but no heat. There was only one room in the house that was ever warm in the wintertime. That was the kitchen. In the kitchen, my mother had a large wood stove. It would be some years before she got an electric stove. She would build a fire in the wood stove for cooking and a fire to keep warm. We got in such a habit staying in the kitchen in the wintertime that the kitchen became the place we lived all year round. The kitchen was where we ate. There was a big square wooden table painted white. My daddy always sat on the end of the table that was far from the sink, far from the stove. I always sat on the back side of the table with my back to the wall so nobody could sneak up behind me. My brother Joe sat on the outside. He was not scared anybody was going to sneak up behind him. And my mother never sat down at all. Her place was at the head of the table, nearest the stove, nearest the sink, but she would stand between the end of the table. Do you need more food? Do you need anything else? Do you need something else to drink? And my daddy would say, sit down and eat, Lucille. I already ate. I'll eat later. I remember her never sitting down. Now, my mother had one rule about food. You don't waste food. If the food is on your plate, the food must disappear. That would not be a bad rule if you actually got to serve your own plate. But we never got to do that. No, we didn't know what was good for us. My mother would take the plate and go to the stove. Then she would put potatoes on it. Oh, you need this so you'll be big and strong. She'd put green beans on it. Oh, you need this so you'll have plenty of energy and your hair will shine. Then she would put meat on it. Oh, you need some of this so you'll be able to run fast when you go to school. She would bring back a big plate of food and we would have to look at it until it was all gone. One day I remember my little brother Joe looking at my daddy and saying, is there anything you can do with food except eat it? My dad had laughed and then he had said, well, maybe so, but then you couldn't call it food. The kitchen table was also where we played. My brother Joe and I would spread a big blanket over the table, let it hang down on the sides, and then we could crawl under the table, and it was a cave. We would put a big blanket over the table, let it hang down on the sides. We would crawl under the table. It was a log cabin. We would put a big blanket over the table, let it hang down on the sides. We would crawl under the table. It was a teepee. We would put a big blanket over the... We were so dumb, that's the only thing we could ever think of to do. One day, my brother and I were playing under the table. We started wrestling around, and we got to kicking around, and all of a sudden, one of us kicked, and we broke one of the legs right out from under the corner of the table. I thought, oh my goodness, we're in trouble now. So I ran to find my mother as fast as I could so I could tell her that my little brother just broke the table. We had no idea who really did it. But we were not in trouble. My mother was thrilled. She said, oh boy, at last we can get a new table. I thought, my goodness, why didn't you tell us you wanted a new table? We could have broken this thing any time you wanted us to. Well, we took the old table, put it on the back porch. It was eventually patched up and used on the back porch. Then we headed to the furniture store where my daddy said to my mama, now, Lucille, you pick out any table you would like. My mother looked and looked, and finally she picked what the man at the store called a dinette set. The top of the table looked like gray plastic marble. The corners of the table were not square. No, the corners were rounded, and the sides even dipped in a little bit from the corners. There was a wide, shiny metal band that had grooves in it. The band ran all the way around the very edge of the table. And the table legs looked like they were made of silver pipes. There were two pipe legs on each corner. They started out of sight, flat against the bottom of the table. And as they curved down on the corners, the two met and ended up on the floor with little feet on the bottom. There were four chairs that matched the table, covered in gray plastic, but the chairs had big round pink buttons in the middle of the seats and right in the center of the back. The chrome pipes on the seats rounded the back, past the seats on the side, went down to the floor where they curved around and met. My brother Joe and I learned that we could sit in those chairs, get a good grip on the edges so that we wouldn't fly out, and bounce up and down, and we could bounce around all over the kitchen. One day, we were eating at the new table, and my mother was serving up my least favorite food, mixed canned peas and carrots. I hated peas and carrots. Those peas, they've been in the can so long, they're not even firm and round anymore. They've cooked down until they're soft and saggy, and they bulge out on the edges, and they're not nice and bright green. They're sort of faded down to the color of day-old monkey vomit. And the little cubic carrots, they're so ashamed of being called carrots, they sort of suck in on the sides, and their little corners stick out and turn dark. And the whole mess sits in greasy gray-green juice that runs all out of the peas and carrots and ruins your bread and soaks everything else on the plate. I hated peas and carrots. But my mother would always say, you have to eat your peas and carrots or you can't see in the dark. I said, I don't need to see in the dark. You won't even let me stay awake in the dark. I hate peas and carrots. You have to eat your peas and carrots because we don't waste food. I was 7 years old, sitting there at the table, looking at the peas and carrots, and all of a sudden, my hands. Remember your hands when you're about 7 years old. You're not really responsible for what your hands do when you're 7 years old. You just get up in the morning, look at your hands, and say, "Wonder where you're going today." And then you follow them around and see what they happen to get themselves into. Some people have hands like that their whole life. All of a sudden, my hands were playing up under the new table. When suddenly one of my hands found the end of one of the big pipes that started the leg on the corner. My fingers discovered that the end of the pipe was open and it was hollow inside. And all of a sudden, my hands realized, you know, you could put something in that table leg. Why, you could put peas and carrots right in there. Next time my mother looked out the kitchen window, my hands came back to the top of the table. They picked up peas and carrots. They went back under the table, and the peas and carrots went into the table leg. I discovered that as long as your finger was, you could push the peas and carrots right on into the table leg, and they would keep going, and then you could load more peas and carrots right in behind them. I put every single one of the peas and carrots in the table leg. Not just that day, but every day we had peas and carrots, the whole year that I was 7 years old. I put peas and carrots in the table leg when I was 8 years old. I put peas and carrots in the table leg when I was 9 years old. When I was 10 years old, I had to swap sides of the table with my brother Joe because I had filled up all four of the pipes on my side of the table and I had to start on his table legs. I put peas and carrots in the table leg when I was 11 years old. I would still be putting peas and carrots in the table leg. But when I was 12, we moved to a new house. My Uncle Spencer was helping my daddy load everything up. We were using Uncle Spencer's pickup truck to help move. One day they were loading the kitchen. They were trying to get everything in the kitchen to fit in the truck in one load. And all of a sudden, Uncle Spencer said to my daddy, he said, "Joe, you know, if we would turn this table upside down and take the legs off, it would be a lot easier to get it to fit in the truck." I thought, "No, no, 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 no." But I watched them as they picked up the table and started to turn it upside down. They got the table all the way upside down and nothing happened. But then they put it down on the floor with a bump. And all of a sudden, up inside the legs, a little sound started going, deedle 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 deedle, as years of dried up peas and carrots came running down the table legs out into little piles on the upside down tabletop. My mother saw that and she said, "We don't waste food." She said to me, "You go find a container and put this food in the container, and when we get to our new house, then we'll figure out what to do with it." So when we moved, in addition to our books and our toys and all our clothes, we had a big, wide-mouthed quart canning jar full of antique peas and carrots. parents. When we moved, it was the beginning of the summer, just when school got out. Much later in the summer, late July or maybe even in August, they had at our church what they called Vacation Bible School for Children. My brother Joe and I went. We had little classes in each class. We would learn games, we would sing songs, we would study Bible stories, and we would do arts and crafts. In my little brother's class, they were making baskets by gluing popsicle sticks together. In one of the classes, they were doing pottery because the teacher had a little pottery wheel. In one of the classes, they were making weaving that would end up being wall hangings when the week was over and the children took them home. In my class, we were going to do something our teacher called making mosaic pictures. Our teacher told us that this was the way they had made pictures way before paint was even invented. We took flat white boards, the kind that you would actually paint on. We picked out pictures of animals. They all came from Bible stories, lions, and even, well, I picked the big rooster that crowed to show that St. Peter was telling a lie. I traced the rooster onto the whiteboard, and then when we finished tracing, the teacher told all of us, "Now, boys and girls, we don't paint. We make mosaic pictures by gluing things on." Why, you could make a whole picture by gluing on buttons. You could glue on pieces of broken glass. Why, you could even glue on popcorn or even macaroni. She said, "Boys and girls, now when you go home, look around your house and see what you can find that you can use in your picture." I knew exactly what we had. You see, my mother was still keeping the peas and carrots on a shelf in the kitchen cabinet. Once in a while, she would come in and say, "What are we going to have for supper tonight?" She would take down the peas and carrots and say, "Oh, maybe we'll have these. Oh, no, maybe we'll save them a little bit more." So I knew they were still there. I also remembered the time when my little brother had said to my daddy, "Is there anything you can do with food except eat it?" And I remember that my daddy had said, "Maybe so, but then you couldn't call it food." And as I got the peas and carrots down out of the cabinet, I knew what they were now called, art supplies. The next morning, I put the jar of peas and carrots in the bag with my lunch that I was taking to Bible school. My mother said, "What do you have in your bag today?" And I said, "Art supplies." When I got to Bible school, I had so many peas and carrots, I could share them generously with everyone and even swap to get things they had brought to use in my rooster picture. Oh, the rooster turned out beautifully. It was like a fighting game rooster with a big multicolored tail. The rooster's tail was striped green and orange, outlined in macaroni. That Sunday after church, all the grown-ups were invited to come down and visit our classes to see what we had done, and then we could all take our work home. Here came my mother. She looked in my little brother's class. Oh, how sweet. Little baskets made of popsicle sticks. What a good thing to use them instead of throwing them away. We went in the next class. Oh, how nice. Pottery. I bet they learned a lot doing that. We went in the next class. Oh, look, weaving. Oh, these parents will be so proud when their children take things home, they could put them on the wall. And then we went in my class. My mother looked around, and all of a sudden she said, "Oh!" And I knew she had seen the rooster. "Isn't it beautiful?" I said. And my mother said, "We don't waste food." But my daddy said, "Lighten up, Lucille. This is not food, it's art." And my mother got so tickled, I didn't even get in trouble.
One of the treasures I enjoy from listening to other people's stories is that they tickle my memory, reminding me of similar experiences that I had had. One of my least favorite compliments to our supper was from a can. That's right, peas and carrots. Mom would warm up the bland concoction of pale green peas and yucky-looking yellow-orange slivers of carrots and spoon them onto our plates. As soon as they touched the plate, the heat would drain from them, leaving them tepidly cold and tastelessly mushy. Without fail, every time Mother would serve those tasteless peas and carrots, my father would tell us that he wanted us to eat every carrot and pee on our plate. We needed a good dose of Dad's potty humor to get us through that meal.
What a great story, Dave. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, we would love for you to come to the Story Mine and tell us that story. Contact us at thestorymine@gmail.com. Join us next week for some wonderful stories here at the Story Mine.
Goodbye.